So this is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, the Sunday, the first Sunday of Holy Week. And this marks the beginning of a lot of celebrations we still do in 2018, things that we do here as a local church as well as with our partner churches throughout Roanoke and Huntington. It's kind of a big deal, and it begins with Palm Sunday today. One of the lines from the book of John in chapter 12 that talks about what was happening on that first Palm Sunday in Jerusalem in verse 19 talks about the leader's response to what is happening on Palm Sunday. And it says, the Pharisees said to one another, Pharisees would be one of the religious leaders groups. They had different groups of these, but this one particular group of leaders says, you see, they're talking among themselves, you can do nothing. Look, the whole world, or the world has gone after him. The world has gone after him. Well, after whom? This whole world, all these people are going after him, and they say, you can do nothing about it. Something's going on. Jerusalem is in a stir. Something's happened, and it's got these guys shaken up. These religious leaders are rattled. Well, who is Jesus? It is the person Jesus. He is the one that has things stirred up. He is the one that the Pharisees are saying so many things and so many people are going after. But what's the fuss? What is it that has these leaders' inner tunics in a tangle? They seem to be all upset about something. Something is happening and people are responding in a very powerful way. And it is Palm Sunday. And let's look at that passage that starts in verse 12 about what is happening. See, crowds of people that had come to the festival. Well, what festival? This is the week of Passover. And so all the Israelites, the Jewish people are coming to town for Passover. That's the festival that John's talking about. And they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And we know some more of the story where Jesus is found on a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written from an Old Testament, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Hosanna, they screamed. Hosanna. They seem to be saying, our Savior's here. Our Savior, Hosanna, has come. He who was supposed to save us that we have been looking forward to for so long has come. That's what they're saying in these Hosanna statements as they're waving their palm trees. And we are this people that are blessed because this one who has come is our King. Palm branches were used a lot of times, and they were placed on the ground, and it was a sign of victory or triumph. You know, maybe today we talk about rolling out the red carpet or something like that. You know, it was a sign that something big has happened. Someone important is here. They used it also to honor people that would have been in the Olympic type games back then. They honored their champions by putting these palm branches down on the ground, or they would wave them at the military heroes that had come back to town. It was a sign of victory. And we still do this today. We celebrate Jesus entering into Jerusalem in this climactic week, which leads to the death and resurrection and the victory of Jesus on Easter. Sometimes we have palm branches here, and I don't know if it's this church's tradition or not, but a lot of churches I've been in, we have little kids take those things and they sing and they go around to commemorate Palm Sunday. The world has gone after him, those leaders said. The world has gone after him, and I think the world still goes after him today. Why? Well, they went after him, I think, because of what they saw and what they heard. So much was going on that Jesus had been doing these last 3 years, and that's why the world went after him. No doubt so many had seen and they'd heard the great things that he did and the wonderful things that he said over these last few years, his teaching and his ministry, his actions, his presence, and his very essence is boiling to a climax here, and that is why the world had gone out after him. And so we have this Palm Sunday event that points to Easter. That's where we are here. Palm Sunday points to Easter. That's next week. This whole week we celebrate this. But John says there were so many people in town. They were there and they gathered. Well, for sure some of them were there because of Passover, but he shares with some other, she shares some information with us that says there were other people there for a different reason. There were many in the crowd that were fanatical because of what had happened most recently. This Sunday is Palm Sunday. That's what we're celebrating today. But the yesterday, the Saturday before Palm Sunday, John records something that had happened. And that other event there's this party that takes place. There is this thing about Jesus being at a party that is helping draw people together. And those people are some of the ones that were going crazy over Palm Sunday, and they're waving these branches that got these religious leaders all jacked up. In verse 1 of chapter 12, it says 6 days before the Passover, this would be the day before Palm Sunday, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him, for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Skip down to verse 9, and it says, when the great crowd of the Jews learned that he, Jesus, was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. It was a party. It was another party that was given in Jesus' honor, and it was at Martha's place. It was at her house, and her sister were there giving this party for Jesus and probably also for Lazarus that he raised from the dead. So for sure, many people in the crowd, that's what this says, were there on Palm Sunday because they were also at this party. They wanted to see, I would too. They wanted to see this dead guy that was raised, and they want to see Jesus that had done this. That's why there were so many people at their house. Last week we talked about Mary and Martha a bit, and we focused on them a little bit to talk a little bit about different kinds of reactions that we can have to the person Jesus. Martha had one type of response that needed a little bit of correction. Mary had another type of response that was a little more exemplary than what Martha had given. Mary had found what the better part was, Jesus said, and that simply was to be in the presence of Jesus and at his feet. There's nothing wrong with serving. That's kind of what Martha gets caught doing. Nothing wrong with that, but it was the attitude that kind of went along with it. She was feeling sorry for herself. She was distracted by all the business of Jesus being in town, and it wasn't healthy, and Jesus corrected Martha there. That's what we talked about last week, but it seems like it's changed. It seems like Martha, I think, gets it a little bit, because now this is probably several weeks later after Lazarus has been raised, and they're at this party. They're at this party the Saturday before Palm Sunday. And Martha, again, is serving, the scripture says. And later on it says, Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, you know the story, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. That's this party. That's this party that took place one day before all this ruckus at Palm Sunday. So Martha is serving, Mary is anointing, and I think they're both worshiping in their own way. They're focused on the person, Jesus. And I don't think there's any indication. Martha's still serving, but you don't see any kind of correction that Jesus is giving Martha here. In fact, I think it's just the opposite. I think she gets it. She's serving, but she's doing it with the right heart. I'd like to think she got it a little bit. She took that discipline that Jesus gave her a little bit earlier, and she changed. And now her and her sister are celebrating together Jesus and their once dead, stinking brother. What a party that would have been. So all these people at the Palm Sunday entrance, you know, for sure they're there for a lot of reasons, but a lot of them are there because of what happened the day before, what they saw at that party. And they're never, I don't think there ever would have been a party quite like that one. Man, that would have been a neat one to see. Mary and Martha's brother raised from the dead. It took place several weeks ago, but now they're celebrating this life and what that would have been like. And so these religious leaders then that make that statement, whose tunics are tangled a bit, are worried about this carryover of the party that seems to be taking place in regards to this awesome miracle that Jesus is said to have performed. And you know, they're so worked up. They're so worked up so much, and maybe you haven't caught this before, I think I forgot about this, that they're even worried about Lazarus. They're worried about this, and John records in verse 10, I don't think I have this up there, the chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. Isn't that something? They're so worked up about this. They see all these crowds coming. They're saying, Hosanna, our Lord is here, our King is here. And man, why? What's going on here? Well, it has large part to do with what Jesus is said to have done with that old dead, rotten corpse of a guy named Lazarus. And they're so worked up about him, let's get him out of the picture too. They were working to have him killed as well. And we're working kind of backwards here on the story a bit. You know, down here's Palm Sunday. Well, why was there Palm Sunday? Well, there was Palm Sunday, well, for a number of reasons, but why were there so many people there? Well, there were so many people there partly because of Jesus had gathered all these people at this party with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They're all excited about what's happening there. And what's the purpose of the party? Why are we, well, you know the answer to that. Why did they have the party? Well, the party is there because of what Jesus has done with Lazarus. He has raised him from the dead. That is the event that they are celebrating. And we work backwards on that for a lot of, well, for a great reason, I think. I think the timing on this has worked out really well for us. Because that event that's at the top of there, this where Lazarus is raised, contains the very last I am statement that we've been talking about for the last 13 or 14 weeks. That very last I am statement is this one that says, I am the resurrection. That's what took place. This is going to, we'll see this in a moment, but this is the conversation that Jesus has with one of those sisters regarding this dead stinky guy named Lazarus. That's what took place. It was such a big event that they had this party here one day before Palm Sunday and drew all these people, and they're all excited about this. Why? Because Jesus did this awesome thing. Let's go back there and take a look at this. It's a long story. We're not going to read all of it. We're going to pull some of it out, but I would encourage you to go back to John 11 just to review. Man, this is one I want to see happen again. I hope we get to heaven. I get to see this one replayed because what an incredible thing. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary. Lazarus was of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary is the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love, Lazarus is ill. Well, it takes Jesus a while to get there. We'll skip through several verses here. But he's with the boys a few miles out, and it's several days until he gets caught up with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who's sick. In verse 17, it says, when Jesus arrives, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother, because he died. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Tremendous statement there that she makes. What does she mean by that? We don't know. But even now, God will give you whatever you ask of him. I think Martha gets it a little bit. She's not concerned about all the details of serving and taking care of, making sure there's beverages and popcorn and all the stuff at a party, and the things that have to take place within the church. She comes right to Jesus, and she knows the center and the most important part of this whole thing is Jesus. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, and here it is, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And Jesus says to her, do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. And I think there might be even something that is more drastic than the fact that he raised a guy that's been dead for 4 days. The fact that he's going to make this statement that says, I am the resurrection. We can't, you and I, on this side of heaven, fully comprehend the magnitude of that statement that he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus then proceeds down to the tomb where they have laid Lazarus. And he's been there for 4 days. Fill in the blank there. You kind of know what that's going to be like if you've been around anything that's, you know, farm animals or something that's been, you know what's happening there. Martha even says, Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead 4 days, Martha says to Jesus. Verse 43, Jesus says this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Wow, would have that been something to see? What would have that been like? He said he was going to do it. He went there, he did it. He gave thanks to God, called him out of the grave, and he came. No wonder so many people became fanatics and were so wrapped up into Jesus just a few weeks later from this day, singing Hosanna. Our Lord is here. And the leader says, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. A couple different responses we see right there. Some people call him Lord and they follow and they wave palm branches and they honor him as king. But others start to plan to have him killed and even kill Lazarus. We must stop this. But many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. So think about this. Think about what took place. Think about if you were there. And many people there were there with Mary and Martha before this event because they went to console her, them. And why? Because their brother's dead. They know the guy's dead. That's why so many people were there. They're there not for Lazarus. They're there originally because the guy's dead. And we want to bring comfort to Mary and Martha. And then they see this. And they see what has taken place. This rotting corpse has come back to life. I can't imagine one being there, but boy, would my thinking now change an awful lot. Because think of the credibility that now gives to all that other stuff that Jesus has been saying for the last 3 years. Get it? When you provide evidence of this kind of proof that you took a corpse that's been dead for 4 years and you raise it, now I'm kind of starting to, oh, what else? What was it that he said? Tell me again what he said here. And I think about those other I am statements that you and I have been talking about here. Now all of a sudden these I am statements have got a lot more relevance to me because I just saw what he did. What was it he said? He said, I am the bread of your life. I am light unto the world. I'm the gate. I'm this pathway to God. I am your good shepherd. I'm the way and the truth and the life. I'm the vine that you stay connected to bring fruit. Now all of a sudden, all those other I am statements that we've been talking about that these people would have heard as well, man, they got some creds here a little bit because of what they would have seen. Tell me again, what do you say? I want to know more about this. I'm now interested in everything this guy did because he just defeated death. All those stories, all that teaching, all of those I am's, these people would have witnessed now become so much more important. And they are there for the purpose of getting these people to have an intimate relationship with this I am. To be in relationship with him. They were there for those people, but I think they are equally there for you and me. He still is the I am. He still is who he says he is. And he still does what he says he will do. John Piper is a pastor that I like to listen to a little bit. Theology is a little different than kind of how we practice, but he writes this regarding this story right here. He said, this is the glory of Jesus. Jesus raised Lazarus because he is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. He is the arrival in history of God's final, glorious renovation of all things, including our bodies. Believers, you and me. You will be raised from the dead and shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. Lazarus is a preview of your resurrection. Jesus is coming back to this earth in power and great glory. And I think that's just a wonderful statement that kind of wraps up a little bit about what Jesus does here. He is previewing you and me, our resurrection. You know, we're all going to die. All of us. Maybe. Some of us might not die. The Lord may return before we die. But for the most part, we're going to die. And, you know, this is, maybe I'm a little too irreverent here, but, you know, Lazarus stunk once. But he's one of the few people that stunk twice. Right? Because he died twice. You know, he came back to die again, and that's you and me. More than likely, you and I are going to face that as well. These bodies are going to rot. They're going to be put away. But this resurrection that Jesus performed for Lazarus was about his power over physical life. That's what he's demonstrating here. It shows that he does have power over physical death. But this is just the dress rehearsal. This resurrection story that we have here is just the dress rehearsal, or as Piper said, it's the preview of another resurrection. The big one's coming. The big resurrection's next Sunday that we're going to celebrate. But that resurrection, that Sunday, that Easter Sunday has to come by the way of a cross. Easter Sunday can only come through this Friday. The great entrance on Palm Sunday is fueled by the fervor of these people who knew Lazarus. They knew that story and they were witness to something that was just so great. And we witness it as well. Sunday's coming, but there has to be a price paid on Friday. There is a ransom to be made and it must come through tremendous pain that occurs on Friday, suffering and death on Friday. That payment and that penalty and that ransom, and we sang about it this morning in our songs, is so necessary on Friday. And all of that is on account of me, and it's on account of you, and it's on account of the whole world. Good Friday is necessary. That death has to take place. Then the resurrection has final and ultimate meaning. The world has gone out after him, and they did. And I'm so glad that they did. And they continue to tell this story for us 2,000 years later. They went out after him, and they've been going out after him since. And that's what you and I do here as well. We have gone out after him. This Jesus, who holds the power over death, he's still the I am today. He is the person that you and I will find our real life in. He is who we hail as Hosanna, our King. Let's pray.